In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Back when I was in school, we had to read for English literature a book written by Daniel Defoe in 1719. It was entitled Robinson Crusoe. Do you remember that book? Yeah. Remember, he was in a shipwreck, and he was the only one on this deserted island. And he brought as many provisions off the wreckage that he could and made himself a fancy treehouse and so forth. But then one night, he heard commotion on the shore. And he went and peeked through the weeds and so forth, and he saw to his horror that it was natives from another island who had come over to do their ritual of cannibalism. And there was one that they were getting ready to kill and eat, and he went and scared him with his gunpowder and rescued the man. That became his Man Friday. Do you remember that? Maybe we talk about our Girl Friday or our Man Friday sometimes. Yeah. So, kind of a horrible story of cannibalism, but I tell you that story so that I can tell you this story. This is from the Gospel from today, from the Gospel of John, and it goes like this. Jesus said to the Jews, "I am the living bread from heaven. Whoever eats of me will live forever. Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will not have life." What does that sound like? Sounds a little like Robinson Crusoe's problem, doesn't it? And in fact, that is something that happened in the early church shortly after Jesus was gone, that the leaders of Judaism talked to the Roman government that was in power there, and they said, "Don't confuse us with these Christians, because they're cannibals." And, you know, they told them about this eating Christ's flesh and drinking his blood. They went through all that. And the Roman government said, "Well, you know, okay, you know, gladiators and orgies are one thing, but cannibalism, even by our standards, that's a little over the top. So, yeah, illegal." Now, we know, with 2,000 years of hindsight, that this is not to be taken concretely or literalistically. This is to be taken that Jesus was speaking metaphorically, and he was speaking spiritually. But, you know, that's the way it was back then. This is really, John's gospel, this is his version of Holy Communion. You may recall that the Maundy-Thursday text from John does not have anything about the words of institution or Jesus starting communion like the other gospels do. John remembers the washing of the feet. But this whole bread of life discourse, we've had these gospel lessons now. This is like the third Sunday that we've had bread of life discourse in the gospel. This is kind of John's version. And he is saying that Jesus has to be the staple in your life. Bread in the ancient world was considered the staple. And you know that, well, even today we still talk about that. Like, how are you going to earn your daily bread? Or, gee, I don't have enough bread to buy that, you know. So it means I have what I need. That's what bread is a symbol for. Wine in the Old Testament is always a symbol of abundance. The mountains will drip with sweet wine when the Messiah comes and so forth. So what Jesus is trying to get to people is to say, if you are connected to me, if you ingest me instead of all the other things you can ingest, you are going to have bread that lasts. Now, the manna that came down from heaven that, you know, your forefathers ate in the desert, okay, that was fine. That lasted a little while, and then they were hungry again. But this is the kind of bread that no matter what happens, you will always have your staple. You'll have what you need, and the drinking of the wine, you will have it in abundance. You'll have everything you need, and you'll have it in abundance. That's the message. So let's take a look at this. Lutherans, by way of confirmation review for everybody today, Lutherans have two sacraments, and they are? Thank you, Jared. Baptism and Holy Communion. One of the few people who paid attention in confirmation class. Very good. And in sacraments for Lutherans, we have a couple of things that have to go in there to make it a sacrament. One is we have to have God's Word. So we have go ye therefore and be baptized and baptize all nations. And then we have do this in remembrance of me. Jesus commanded these things. And then there has to be some earthly element. So in baptism, the earthly element is? Not as much attention as I thought, huh, Jared? In baptism, the earthly element, combined with God's word, is water. And in Holy Communion, the earthly elements are? Bread and wine, yeah. The other thing that a sacrament has to have is it has to be commanded, or instituted, rather, by Christ himself. So baptism, where he was baptized and said people should be, and he instituted Holy Communion. The thing that a sacrament offers is that it is a means of grace. It offers forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And Holy Communion, which is John's talking about today, Jesus just finished feeding 5,000 people. Remember a couple Sundays ago when he said he took the five little loaves, he blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples so they could distribute? That's John's version of it, of Holy Communion. Holy Communion is really a special and interesting thing. About 20 years ago, there was a survey done among Lutherans. And that survey was to say, what do you find to be the most meaningful part of Lutheran worship? And then they listed the liturgy, the prayers, the music, the sermon, and so forth. But guess what the biggest one was that they chose? 74% of Lutherans surveyed said that they felt Holy Communion was the most meaningful part of the service. That's interesting. And it was about, what, 20 years ago that we started having communion more often? Because we figured it out. If that's the most meaningful part of worship, maybe we ought to do that every Sunday. And so that's kind of how that began. Holy Communion is something that is, I don't know, there's something mystical about the connection we have. Christ's body and blood. He was a real person with a body and shed blood. He was a person who goes through the stuff that we go through. He had friends who betrayed him, in fact. He had people who never understood him. He had struggles like we have. That connection to flesh and blood, it seems to be important to us. And we feel that mystical connection in Holy Communion. I never say those words of institution without feeling that powerfully in me. And it's interesting, too, when I go to nursing homes and shut-ins and so forth and visit members, there are people, I'm thinking particularly of a gal from St. John that's in a nursing home, and she has dementia, Alzheimer's, and she can't remember much of anything. But when I give her communion, she still says the words of institution along with me when I'm saying it. There's something that's lodged so deep in her brain about Christ's body and blood and the mystical connection with him that she cannot forget it. It's despite her dementia, it's in there forever. And I think that's terrific. So, if it is true, as the nutritionists say, that we are what we eat, then you know, it's a good thing we're ingesting Christ's body and blood often. Because if we're only drinking in the consumer culture that we have that says, you know, more and more, whoever has the most toys wins, if we're only consuming that self-importance and self-aggrandizement, hooray for me and heck with the rest, if we're only drinking in the kind of superficial stuff that says I need to be noticed and thought of as important, if that's all we're consuming and taking in, that's all we'll ever be. However, if we are taking in Christ's very body and blood, the Spirit of Christ, we're ingesting that, and you are what you eat in that way too. So we're not Christian cannibals. I need to put everybody's fears at rest this morning about that. We're not Christian cannibals. But we are doing what we can to make sure we're ingesting the right things to keep us healthy. And so we're having a foretaste of the feast to come. I want to say the common table prayer, and I got a little variation of it today. Please pray with me if you would. Come, Lord Jesus, be our meal. Help us show your love is real. Blessed be God, who is our bread. May the world be clothed and fed. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.